Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have you join us on another one of these Business of Digital podcasts. And today we have another special guest, and this is a good friend of mine that has been in the industry forever. Most of you may know him as the pest control guy. Why? Because he wears shirts that says the pest control guy. Thomas Ballantyne. Hey, dude, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thanks, Matt, for having me.
Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm glad that we can make this work. This is something that Dave and I know Dave, we don't want to forget Dave. Hi, Dave. And he's muted, but we're just going to say hi.
I'm here.
But so what we wanted to do, and we felt really clever about this, Thomas, but I'll get into that first, but we felt really clever with this title. We're going to call this Bugging Out Over Reviews.
I like it.
But before we jump into it and talk all things reviews with you, maybe just take a few or like a minute or so and just kind of give us a background of just so our listeners, if they're not familiar with who you are as the bug guy, just give us a little bit of your background.
Okay. I started with the pest control company back in about 2006. And at that time, they did not have a website at all. And my brother-in-law, who owns a company, was, well, I'm a pest control guy. I don't need a website. And so I was like, dude, 2006, you got to have a website. he had a domain. It was under construction, red brick and all, for like 6 years. Hadn't touched it. And so I spent 2 days throwing up a generic website for him back in 2006. After a year of that, I said, hey, by the way, you know, here's all the leads and sales you got from your website. Here's the traffic it was getting. And I hadn't even started SEO on it. I had done SEO for my own personal wedding photography business back in 2001, got ranked for Phoenix Wedding Photographer. But at any rate, he was like, well, I want more of that. And so 2006, I built his first website. By 2007, I was on the first page for pest control nationally. 2009-ish is when the local pack came out. And so jumped on that because that was much more relevant to us as a pest control company. I didn't need to rank for pest control on a national level because we, at that time, we had, I think we were in 14 different markets. So ranking locally, though, was awesome. And then on top of that, they started throwing reviews in 2009. So in 2009, I said, hey, team, we've got to get reviews. And so I started a program with my technicians or our technicians on how to ask for online reviews and how to provide that the quality service that we needed to get those online reviews. Fortunately, we'd already been surveying our customers for many years. Every year we send out a customer survey and they rate us and tell us, you know, if they like the service or not. So we had a good idea that they would be receptive to giving us reviews prior to actually asking for reviews. But kind of that's it. I mean, my general rule of thumb for most people when they ask about online reviews and how to get good reviews, they say, first off, don't suck.
Yeah.
And second off, just figure out a system to ask. And then third, make that system easy for them to follow and actually give you that review. And that's, well,
this is a perfect segue into kind of like how I wanted to start this off with you with reviews. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm thinking here about like just how reviews, I guess, if you will, have the way that we go about reviews or the way that reviews are left, like just kind of the evolution and how it's evolved since you said, I think 2009 when they first started, you know, making a big deal out of them or at least putting them online. So what would you say like over the years has changed or how has it evolved and what have you had to do differently with like the way you go about it or have you? Is there anything that the people need to be aware of or just like what are like the best practices? I know that that's like a million questions in one, but you kind of see where I'm going with it. Like how has it evolved, I guess?
Okay. That's, that is pretty open. Let's start with, in fact, you know, this, story as well, Matt, since we were the only pest control company asking for reviews in the beginning, it was really easy to do well with those reviews. You know, when you've got 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 reviews and nobody else does, then people just, they want to click on you. They want to come to you and buy service from you. So in the beginning, when there was no competition, it was really easy. Unfortunately for us, because we were asking for reviews and we were getting reviews, we looked really suspicious to Google. I even got a call from the BBB one time. I had a Yelp person reach out to me and was like, hey, what's going on? How come you're getting so many reviews? And so
all because you're just trying to do it right and do what they want. Have people leave reviews.
Right. I thought it'd be a good situation. I mean, a lot of these people didn't even have Google accounts. And so we're encouraging them to go get a Google account. But apparently they didn't.
Apparently you were a little aggressive.
Yeah. And I had a conversation with Matt Cutts at the time. And I said, Matt, look, I've got 10,000 customers in the Phoenix area. How come when I got to, you know...
Oh, you said... Sorry, you cut out a little bit. You had a conversation with Matt Cutts. That's what you're talking about?
Yes, sorry.
Okay, perfect.
Had a conversation with Matt, and I said, I've got 10,000 customers in the Phoenix area. Why can't I have 300 reviews? Because they literally cleared the plate. They took all my reviews away at one time.
Remember that.
Yeah. And he's like, well, he's like, I wouldn't worry about it so much. Focus on something else. I'm like, no, that's not the right answer. I mean, and so I just continued to do what I was doing. I said, you know what? They're going to figure it out. They're going to have to update their system. And they have to be able to determine, you know, hey, these guys can actually get that many reviews. So that's one of the things that did change. Is the quantity of reviews coming in and people and review platforms realizing that, hey, this is going to be a thing.
You know, all I'm taking from this is you're the one person that Matt Cutts wasn't helpful to.
He was actually still pretty helpful.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he's actually been helpful. He got me in to talk to the Google Local Maps team at one point, and they're actually implementing some of the things that. That I asked that they do, so it was pretty cool. He's a good guy. Anyway, you got me sidetracked talking about Matt.
That's a fine. Go ahead.
What was the rest of that question? So how else has it changed?
I guess is there anything different in 2000, because that's about a 10-year gap. Is there anything differently that you're doing in 2019 that you were doing in 2009, or is it still basically just the same? We're going after... you know, we're trying to get happy customers to write reviews. And, you know, like, how's the approach changed? How is it different?
My strategy is actually the same. I have not changed it since 2009.
And there's nothing like with Google or Yelp or their rules or their laws that you're breaking or anything like that. You know, things like that people need to be aware of. I'm just curious.
Yeah. I guess I'll backstep a little bit. There are a couple things I have changed along the way. One is with our own website, we actually started asking for reviews and storing our own reviews. I wanted to have my own unique reviews that I owned on my own website. And with that, that also allowed me to make sure that my technicians we're being honest. And I've had, unfortunately, you know, a couple technicians that thought that they were doing something good for us by faking reviews that we fired because they were faking reviews. So that's completely honest and open there.
And it happens. Yeah. I mean, you could see that happening.
Yeah. I mean, and we grade them as well. They cannot get certain positions and promotions if they don't have positive online reviews, and they know that.
It's interesting.
Yelp has always said, don't ask for reviews. Yelp.
Yeah. And that's the kind of one that I was getting to without having to like jump in and say it. Cause like, I'm just always curious how you, cause you know, you're asking, And again, I've always thought that this was the stupidest thing ever from Yelp, to be honest. Like, I used to have a love-hate relationship with Yelp, but I just have a hate relationship with them now.
Well, Matt, I think it's because for Yelp, I think it's because if they tell you to get reviews and to ask for them, it opens the floodgates to problems. It's almost like, you know, telling your kid don't do something when you know they're going to do it and you actually want them to. Like, we want you to go get reviews. We want you to go get lots of reviews. But we can't tell you to, because then you might abuse the system.
I think
they're screwed either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Google one time, though, said, yes, go ask for reviews. They've actually changed their guidelines on this several times. Really? They said, yes, go ask for reviews. Then they said, no, don't ask for reviews. And currently, I don't think that there's anything in their platform about either asking or not asking. I think they just said, hey, just strike that line entirely and let people do what they're going to do.
Do you know how many emails they send me about being a local guide and how, hey, did you like this place? Do you want to review it? Did you take any photos?
Yeah.
Like every week, I get like two emails from them about places.
This is the way that I look at it. Here's the difference, okay?
That's Google.
And you guys, well, yeah. But you guys correct me if I'm wrong. Like with Yelp, for example. Let's say that someone's wanting to get their Yelp reviews up. Okay, I'm in a restaurant, and someone, you know, the business owner comes up to me and is like, hey, you know, I want to give you 15% off, or I want to give you a free dessert if you'll go and write me a Yelp review right now. There's a difference between that and when I'm leaving, if I see a sign that says, hey, if you had a good experience or not, whatever, just we're on Yelp, give us a review. They're not asking for anything specific. You know, there's difference between, you know, like, I guess the one I'm being incentivized, but even... You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't see that there's anything wrong with making people aware that you're on a certain platform that you know, your business will thrive or do better with reviews.
Yeah. That's, I guess, the difference for Yelp and Google, even in Dave's case, is that they're the ones asking. And so, I don't know. I think that you're right, Matt, on definitely on the fact that there's a difference between incentivizing somebody for a review and getting an honest review, because that is one thing that I always tell people, don't go offering incentives or money. You know, I was talking to somebody else the other day and they actually said it better than I did. So I was like, I don't know if I should quote it or not, but it is pretty funny. It said, don't make your customer a whore. So
that's funny.
Yeah, you don't want to pay. In my opinion, it cheapens the relationship. And when you bring money into something like that, when genuinely they want to do you a favor and they love you, they're going to give you a better review. And it doesn't cheapen the relationship. It actually makes the relationship stronger if you could get them to give you an honest review.
So we shouldn't offer 10% off of the subscription to the Business of Digital Podcast if you go and review us on iTunes. I mean, it's free. 10% off free. So feel free to go leave a review, but yeah.
And no, that doesn't mean you get 10% less of Dave or me. Sorry. So
what about? Oh, I was gonna.
No, go ahead, Dave.
What about what is your process for when you do get a bad review?
Oh, that's good. That's a fun one.
Because I know. For those that may have seen you, most people, probably a lot, some of our listeners may have, but you had an interesting, like, you have clear dashboards, and if you ever want to go see a cool session, find Thomas when he's talking about reviews, because he has a ton of visual assets and a ton of different stuff that really digs into this. But I'll let you kind of answer my actual question.
Okay. So it's actually somewhat inspired by the book Satisfaction, Customer Satisfaction by J.D. Powers, and how every good company listens to the voice of the customer. He, in that book, outlines that a hotel experience where the customer has a good experience and leaves happy rates a company at a lower level on average than a hotel experience where they had a problem and the hotel fix the problem to their satisfaction, on average, has a higher customer satisfaction score.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
It makes sense in a weird way.
Yeah, if you go in and get...
You expect to not have any problems, if that makes sense. Like, when you go to a restaurant, you expect the food to come out hot. You expect it to come out the right order. When someone comes to take care of the bugs, your job, I'm paying you to come take care of it. You know, I expect not to have my hotel room, you know, flood. So I think I could, that makes sense, although it is interesting that they actually have proof of that.
Yeah, so it's encouraging to me because then it says, hey, you know what? They had a bad experience. So what? Make it better and ask them to update their review after the fact. You know, hey, I saw you had a negative online review and we want to take care of this problem. We want to fix it. And so we definitely go after every negative online review that we get. We contact the customer. We open up a dialogue. We take care of the problem to the best of our ability.
Look, people, customer service.
Right. and even when they're, this is kind of one of my fun stories. I had a lady that was like, no, you guys screwed up so bad. You deserve that review. You know, I'm not taking it down no matter what you ever do. And I said, okay, thanks for the feedback. Sorry, I couldn't fix it for you. We sent her a refund check anyways, because that's our policy, right? So I sent her a refund check with a note in it saying, sorry that we screwed up. Here's a refund for the last 2 months of your service. If you ever want to give us a second chance, please contact me directly. I'd love to, the opportunity to make things right still. And she went on and she updated her review.
Huh. And she said she never would.
Right. And that's one thing that, like, even in the negative online review responses that I do online, you need to have a strategy there. You don't want a canned response every single time. You definitely don't want to argue with your customers.
Comcast response.
Right. You definitely don't want to argue with your customers. You don't want to be the bully saying, oh, no, you're the one that's wrong. You're stupid. It's your fault that
even if they are wrong and they are stupid.
Yeah. You kind of let that speak for itself sometimes. There's a couple bad reviews out there where I'm like, no, don't fix that one.
We
need a couple bad reviews. Actually, my team doesn't listen to me. They still want to fix every single bad review, which is probably good for them. But, yeah, so... Definitely go after the negative online reviews as far as fixing the problem and reaching out to the customer. On the operational side, we've found things in our system that we could actually fix that would avoid these problems in the future. And I think Dave was actually talking about that one a little bit. And the fact that one of our complaints is that I talked about that we weren't showing up.
Yep.
Well, we found a good segment of those people. Had locked, like, had community gates that we couldn't get through. So we identified that and found a system to fix that and make it more prevalent in the technician's, you know, iPad that, hey, by the way, here's the gate code, and help them to get into those communities. So
I'm curious. I think you talked about it in this session. How do you mine or dig into, not every business is going to get as many reviews as you get. So they might not need like crazy infrastructure and tools and, you know, but what are you doing or how are you mining your Yelp, Google, Facebook, your own reviews and kind of bringing it together? Is there any one tool or is it just custom built internal?
We do use a chat meter, but it's not. I don't really use it for a review mining tool. It does help. Chat meter helps organize the reviews so that we can respond in a single dashboard. It's a fantastic tool.
Go ahead.
You first.
I was going to say, what was the internal, like, how did you get to find, or what tools did you use or process did you use to figure out that the reason why you weren't showing up was because in the reviews, there was either something that said you didn't show up and then you looked back and you figured out it was gate? Was there like keywords that you mined through it, or was it just you noticed the addresses and looked at the map type of thing?
Yeah, so I actually love digging into our data over here. In fact, my go-to mission statement for my team at this point is organize and present data to inspire growth. And so we do a lot internally, and even as a marketing platform for our people that are coming to learn about pest control, you got to organize the information in a way that inspires people to change and to grow. But internally, yeah, we went through and I knew the information intimately because I was the one that was responding to a lot of these negative online reviews last year. So I was going through and I started saying, okay, look, I'm seeing a trend here. Here are, you know, 5-6 different categories I could put these reviews in to say, you know, these are our big issues. Of the negative reviews, these are the ones that are hitting most often. And so with that, we built a tool that scrapes our reviews. We take all the reviews that we get, we put them into our own database, both positive and negative.
That's such an amazing way to use that data. That's just fascinating.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And the other cool thing about it too is that I had to realize, and I have to accept it, that, you know, from the operational side, you know, we're going to mess up a little bit. And so there's going to be a baseline trend that should be acceptable for certain things.
Right.
You know, we don't always get rid of the bugs in the first try. You know what I mean? So people are going to have, we're going to have a baseline of, you know, 5% of our
negative. And sorry to interrupt, but I always look at it like this way too with that, Thomas. Like my wife, when I hear her talking to me all the time about this kind of stuff, when she's going and reading up on like a new automotive group that we're going to go to, she's like, oh, well, they have like 50 reviews and they're all 5 stars. I don't know if I trust that. I'm going to go like find someone that has like 4.5 because it's like more trustworthy to me. And it's crazy how like that kind of thing works, because there's hardly any business out there where every customer has been 100% happy 100% of the time. You know what I'm, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Across the board, optimally, 4.7 is the best review rating you can have. And
interesting.
And as you said, there's actually a turning point when the reviews look too good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it changes by industry. In fact, I should probably shoot you over a study that I have on that. But like athletic shoes or light bulbs or hair products, you know, high-end gifts, there's a turning point on all of those where, hey, it's too good to be true.
Okay, high-end gifts is actually... always drop it on the write-up, too, for all the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah, I can send that to you. It was put out by Northwestern University. So...
Well, we're kind of getting close to the... This is fascinating, but there's a question that I kind of wanted you to get out there, and before we run out of time...
I'm not going to cut you off real quick, but Dave, just on your other side, you said, you know, most businesses may not want to do it to my level. I think every business should look at their negative online reviews and start at least identifying, hey, these are my major concerns, and reading through those negative online reviews.
Well, I don't know if they can. They just don't have that breadth of reviews. Like, you have how many, you're in what, 8 or 10 states now or something?
And yeah,
have,
we got 25 different markets.
Yeah, 25 different markets. You're serving, I mean, you had 10,000 customers just in Phoenix. So, I mean, think about a restaurant or even like, you know, a small company that services enterprise clients. Okay, there's only 500. Maybe, you know, if you go to the, you know, 1,000, they possibly could only have 1,000. So to have that number of reviews and number of people, it's different. But they should be doing NPS type, you know, things, or looking at those types of reviews, or working with their account managers or salespeople, or digging through your CRM to see what prospects didn't like or what they did like, why clients left. Look through your customer service stuff, internal stuff. I think a lot of people just go, oh, online reviews are good, but what about the internal stuff? Why are people leaving? Yeah. That they don't go online because they did. It's, it takes time to go and, you know, complain about someone. Unless you're really mad, you're not, you're just going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've always theorized that for every one negative online review, there's probably 10 to 20, if not more, customers that experience the same thing that just never complained about it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No problem. Just in wrapping it up, maybe give us a minute or two on this final thought. But, you know, if there's, for those listeners of ours, a lot of them are new to this. And if they have like a new business, or they're a small mom and pop, or just someone that is new to the review game, if you will, you know, what's your bit of advice to them? Like, how should, you know, what's the one thing that you want them to do or know, or to start working with reviews?
I would say start with just asking. You know what I mean? Like, don't be afraid to reach out to your customers and ask. And it's really the relationship that makes the difference, that in getting the review, a good review, and the honest feedback that you need as a business to be able to thrive in this review culture. As a guy that loves my phone and cell phone service as much as I do, I don't owe Verizon a review at all, but I do owe the guy at the counter that helped my wife figure out her new phone, and he was super helpful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The guy at the Verizon store, if he would have asked me for a review, I would have dropped him a review in a heartbeat.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would focus on the review. I would say when your customer is smiling, that's what we tell our technicians as well. When they are smiling and you're wrapping up your service, that's the moment to ask. When you say, "Is there anything else I can do?" and you see a smile from them in response, they're in a moment that they're going to be receptive to give you an honest, positive online review, and that's the best time to ask.
I like that, and I think I'll just end it with also just remember, if you do get those negative ones, just kind of what we learned with talking to you today, use that information and work on your customer service. You know, look at things internally, make, you know, do what you can to improve and take that criticism, if you will, or that negative review and turn it into something positive. So, well, Thomas, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today and be on. So thank you, my friend.
You bet. It's been fun. Thanks for having me.
Any final thoughts, Dave?
Nope. And if Thomas is fine, I will include a screenshot or two from his presentation at PubCon that included kind of his dashboard where he dug into some of your categories and stuff, because I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, that's opening the kimono a little bit.
I will selectively pick stuff that does not open the kimono too much.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I put it out there in PubCon, so feel free. I want to be helpful. I want to be transparent.
Awesome.
So like you said, every business has areas where they trip up. So it's better to acknowledge it and fix it than it is to ignore it.
Perfect.
Well, thank you, sir.
And on that, well, for Thomas with Bulwark, Dave with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt with Avalanche Media. Thanks, guys, for joining us. And we will catch you on the next one of these episodes. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks, all.
Have a good one. Bye.